We're going to be talking about relationships. What does relationships look like? And guys, I'm going to tell you, today relationships are challenged more than they've ever been challenged before, ever, especially in America, with the outside pressure being pushed on Christians, being pushed on anybody, really. You know what? It's okay to go and do whatever you want to do. It's all right. You deserve it. Listen, you need to be happy. And if your spouse isn't making you happy, get rid of your spouse. You know, and then you got the dating scene where they go, well, you know what? I got to date them. Then I got to live with them to see if I can live with them. Right? And it's like, really? And what happens is people just, they fail to make conscious decision to say, I'm committed to this relationship no matter what happens. And if you go into a relationship with that attitude, both of you, it becomes successful. If you go into the attitude of, I need a way out, I need a way of escape, so we're not going to get married, we're going to do prenups, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, then all of a sudden, what you've done is you left yourself a window of escape. And so what I want to do, and I've shared this with you, and I'm going to just remind you for the next 5 weeks. So if you're visiting with us today, I'm really excited that you're here. But for the next 5 weeks, we're going to be talking about the things that destroy communication, or destroy communication is one, the first one today. But things that destroy relationships, and the things that can build relationships. So it's not a negative, it's a positive as well. It really depends on what you do with the information that you are going to receive. So the first thing we're going to look at is communication. And of course, communication is all about the tongue. You know, because let's face it, sometimes, probably nobody in here though, I'm sure, has said things that have been hurtful. I can tell you regretfully that I have said things that have been hurtful. I have said things to my wife that has been hurtful. As a matter of fact, I made a statement one time, and this was 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, and I was angry, and I made a statement to my wife, which does not need to, you don't need to know the statement, but either way, I made the statement. I didn't use any foul language or nothing like that, but the statement I made was incredibly hurtful. At the time I said it, you know, it's just one of those things. Well, 2.5 years later, my wife and I are talking, and she says, do you remember when you said such and such? And I said, yes. And she goes, you know, it has taken me this long to get over the pain of that. And I went, wow. Like that was just a moment. And she didn't say it to me to make me feel bad. She was just letting me know, because we were having conversation, that one statement, and just one statement, destroyed her that much. And so I thought about it afterwards, and obviously I repented, and I asked her for forgiveness. I didn't just say I'm sorry, I actually asked for forgiveness. You know, there's really a huge difference in saying I'm sorry and saying, will you forgive me? You know, there's a big difference. Will you forgive me? Really, really is saying, listen, man, I recognize it. I take full ownership of it. And I am asking you to forgive me of my sin rather than I'm sorry because it hurt you. Do you get what I'm saying? Asking for forgiveness, really, you take on the responsibility of the entire act that you did. And you admit that it's sin, and then you deal with it. Well, there's something that the Bible says about the tongue, and guys, listen, I'm going to tell you, when I say guys, that's like overall, ladies, you're joined in on that statement, okay, just for the moment, right? It's all inclusive, guys. The tongue, James says, is a fiery member that can start a forest fire and destroy many things, and some of you take great pleasure in using that weapon to hurt people. There are some people that just, they know, and I know because I used to be one of them before I got saved. I would use my greatest weapon, and that was my tongue. Boy, could I say things that would cut and cut deep. And some of you do the same as I did. I'm only adding you because it makes me feel better. So, but I want to bring up some verses about the tongue and what the Bible says about it. And here's the other thing. Your spirit in which you say things. You know, communication involves a lot. Body language. You know, you could be saying one thing verbally, but your body could be screaming 18 different other things. You know what I'm saying? And so when we're talking communication, literally, we are talking your entire being communicating a message to somebody about how you feel. And if we don't have this relationship, if it's not right and our communication is not right, then we misunderstand things or we'll read into things. Okay, this is a little hobby horse of mine. Why is it that you can't make a statement without everybody reading something into it? It's like, I didn't say that. Well, you implied it. Really? Where is that implication at? Well, that's the way I took it. Oh, okay, there you go. So, you know, sometimes we got to take it when we say it. You just got to take for what was said as being what was said. And don't read into it. My wife's not in here, so I'll tell you, she's horrible for that. All right, there you go. She'll be here now. She's on her way over. I heard that. No, listen, communication, how do we talk? How does it affect people? Proverbs 18:21, as soon as it comes up on the screen. There you go. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Now, just leave that there a second. I'm going to read it again because I want this to sink in. I want you to grab hold of what God is saying, not pastor, but what God is saying. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You will either lift somebody up or you will absolutely decimate them with what you say. And those who love it will eat its fruit, good or bad. So remember this, you have so much control, it is unbelievable in what you say over people. As I was studying this out, I was reading stories of people that were hurt by the tongue and that were built up by the tongue. It went both ways. And so I was reading this story about a guy who was talking how he went and his music teacher, they were doing a big play, a big production. They do it every year. And there was a small part in the play, but it was three solo songs. And the music teacher went to this guy, this kid, and he said, "Hey, listen, I want you to audition." He said, "I can't sing." She said, "I want you to audition for this part." And so he said, "All right." And he goes and he auditions. And she says, "That was wonderful. And you have the part. Will you take it?" And he said, "Absolutely." And so this boy took the part in high school in the play. And then the next year came. And he thought, "Hey, you know what? I'll go down, man. I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of this group and this whole event that's going on." Well, there was a new teacher, a new music teacher that year. And so he goes up to audition, this kid does, and he sings, and when he sings, the teacher said, "Who told you you could sing?" And he said it devastated him, and he never sang again for 8 years. It wasn't until 8 years later, it wasn't until he met his wife that she convinced him that he had a voice and he needed to sing. For 8 years, he lost the joy of the love that he wanted because somebody killed him with the tongue. Guys, I'm telling you, we need to think about what we say before we say it. Proverbs 18:14. Now, as we read this, again, pay attention because I want you to understand the impact that we have in what we say. "The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit?" And you know, there's some adults, dads, moms, that verbally abuse their children. And how can these children bear it after so long? They break. It's kind of like having, and I hate to equate a puppy with a dog with a child, but it's really not a whole lot of difference. You know, a child will always seek for the father and for the mother's approval. It's just something we do, especially for the father's approval. So men, listen up. And then, you know, but it's like a dog. That dog will always forgive and always come back and always forgive and always come back. And then there's a point of abuse, though, where the dog now is afraid to come back. And so, and then all of a sudden, the verbal abuse gets worse for the dog. And if you know anything about an animal, once his spirit is broke, the minute you jump, move, or yell, that dog will mess on the floor. Well, you know, the same thing with a child. The only difference is with a child, it grows up animosity in their heart, and they begin to hate. And so you have to be careful. Now, I'm not saying don't discipline, because I'm going to tell you, a child that messes up needs his tail spanked. Don't put him in a corner and count to 35. Wear him out. But at any rate, that's just pastor's opinion. What I'm talking about is verbal abuse. You can talk to someone without verbally abusing them, because once you break their spirit, it takes so much to bring them back. And so we have to be very cautious. Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Listen, control yourself. Pick the times you're going to talk. Choose your words wisely. Choose your words wisely. It is said that we are the master of our words, but before they're spoken. But once they're spoken, they become the master of us. They determine who we are. And when somebody looks at us from the words that we use, the body language we use, the way we communicate, that's how we'll be remembered. That's how we'll be known. I was speaking with a gentleman, and I shared this with you last week, how I'm talking with him, and he's dropping all these words that I can't even get near. And then as the conversation went on, he said, I'm a Christian. And I went, man, from listening to you, I would never believe it. Now, here's the interesting thing. I was talking to somebody that is a mutual friend of the two of us, and they seen him and I talking and went and talked to this guy. And so as they're talking to him, he's like, yeah, I'm a Christian. And she goes, I never would have known. I never knew that. I never would have imagined. Why? Because your words said everything but I love Jesus. And so I'm telling you, we need to pick our words wisely. We need to restrain from saying some of the things that we say, from lashing out. Boy, we can lash out with the tongue, can't we? Holy smoke, man, can we ever say some things that are just ungodly and nasty and ugly? And so what we got to do is we got to stop and process it. Okay, so those are just some of the scriptures. I can go into many, many, many more and share with you the tongue and the damage that it does and how we are instructed to keep our tongue, not to keep it silent, but to keep it godly, to keep it edifying. To keep it where we lift somebody up. Listen, we can rebuke and we can edify. You can do it both with the tongue, but you got to do it godly. You see the difference? Not what you want to say, but what God would have you to say, so that there's edification going on rather than destruction happening. And so, guys, we got to be so careful of the tongue. All right. I want you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, if you will. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be in Ephesians today. And of course, with everything going on, I am without choice, but to stay on track and get this message done, because it cannot bleed over in the next week. So somebody say amen. Amen. There you go. All right. So we're in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Guys, I'm going to tell you, there's so much going on here, and I hope that I can hang with my notes and get this out really well so that it all makes sense. From 25 to 32 is what we're going to be reading, but I'm just going to tell you, this is an amazingly powerful passage, and there's more in here than some people realize, and sometimes if you just read it, you read it, and you blow over it, and then it's done. But if you stop and really analyze what's being said, and you truly understand how to read your Bible, man, the passage is literally, there's sometimes when I read the Bible that I'm reading it, And I stop and really take the time to understand it. And all of a sudden, via the Holy Spirit, I'm not really sure, God's hand comes up out of the Bible and smacks me right in the forehead. Because I'm like, wow, man. And then I go to share it with somebody with all the excitement, and they just look at me like... And then, okay, obviously that was for me and not for you. And so that explains the bruise on my forehead. God aimed it right at me. Ephesians 4:25, it says, Therefore, because of everything else I just said all the way back, and he's talking about walking in unity, he's talking about the new man that we're supposed to be in 17, how we're supposed to put off the old and put on the new, and really, listen, if you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, if you're born again, if you're saved, whatever term you want to use, if you are a Christ follower, because today you say Christian, and like everything else is morphed into this stuff that is really not. People say, I'm a Christian. Oprah Winfrey says, I'm a Christian, but yet she completely denies Jesus Christ. Well, guess what? She's not a Christian. Obama says, I'm a Christian, but yet he completely says the Bible's a farce. Guess what? He's not a Christian. So all these people who have influence, they're, and you go, Pastor, did you really say names? I'm not going political. I'm just saying what people say that are not accurate, okay? So just saying, it's not a political statement. It's a spiritual statement. That worked, didn't it? All right. So in 25, he says, therefore, it was a great door out, man. I'm just telling you. 25 says, therefore, because everything else I just said, whenever you see a therefore, you find out what it's there for, okay? So therefore, putting away lying. So immediately he says, listen, I want you to put away lying. I want you to control the tongue. I want you to communicate godly, is what he's saying here. Putting away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. And then we say, well, who's our neighbor? It says, for we are members of one another. And so he's talking to the Christian here, and he says, listen, I want you to speak truth. I don't want you to lie. He goes into 25 or 26. And he says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And it's so funny because, you know, how many people ever went to bed mad at your whoever, right? And so this old man asked his wife, he says, is the sun up yet? And she says, yes, why? He goes, good, I can finally go to sleep. He did not let the sun go down on his wrath. Okay, so then it goes on. Some of you will get that in a moment. 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Because listen, when we do that, we're allowing Satan to get into our lives. And when he gets into our lives, guess what he does? He causes us to lie and not tell the truth. He all of a sudden affects our communication. So then he goes on to 28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. You work to give it away. 29, Listen, because you got to grab this, okay? You got to grab this. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. It's very interesting because the word corrupt was used to describe fish which had been on the dock too long, or rotten fruit that reeked with the smell of decay. That is literally what the word corrupt in the Greek means. Now, anybody ever been around fish that has had, whoo, how about rotten fruit? We had watermelon that was graciously given, that was so graciously, by the way, God bless you, brother, for bringing that. We had watermelon, 20 of them or 24 of them, whatever it was, watermelon, the little baby watermelons, you know what I'm saying, that you cut in half and just stick your face in it, one of those. And so we had three stacked boxes or whatever you want to call it with 20 some watermelon in it, and we were saving it for the block party, and it was brought in the week before the block party. We put it in a nice cool dark room, you know, so that the coolness would keep it from, well, apparently it was riper than we thought it was before we put it in there. And so the Wednesday before the block party, or the Tuesday, I'm really not sure which, they all boop ruptured and all the juice flowed out and went all over the carpet. And so I wasn't, it just happened to be that I had another appointment that I had to make. And so I get a text that, and I could hear it through the text, that these watermelon had ruptured. Buck is gagging while he's trying to get them outside. And my wife, through the text, and I could hear her say it just as clearly as she typed it, "It is horrid in here, the smell." Rotten fruit, right? So if you've never been there, you know what it is. How about milk? Anybody ever? Isn't that disgusting? I come into the house one day and I'm going, something stinks. It's just nasty, like, you know, one of those. And by this time, you know, we all do this, so I don't feel bad for showing you what you look like. We all do this. We go through the house and we find, right. We're walking to find the smell, and I get all of a sudden I get over toward the washer and dryer, and the smell gets stronger. So obviously I know, like, my radar goes ding 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 ding, you're close, and so I open the door and I'm smelling it in the laundry room, and I'm like, what in the world? And there's a rag laying there, and so I do what everybody would do. Right? Who else would have done that? Okay, and then for those that wouldn't have picked it up and smelled it, you would have bent over and smelled it, right? And oh my goodness, it was milk. And so I asked my wife, I go, how did milk get in the laundry room? What happened? And she goes, oh, I spilled it and I cleaned it up. Well, that word corrupt is that smell, that decay. And so when he says here in 2029, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. We're not to hurt people. We're not to damage people. Lash out. Listen, our tongue is not to be decaying fish. It's not. Now, I know sometimes some of you eat things that it smells like that, but it is not to be that. Yeah, that didn't go well either. So, at any rate, Limburger cheese. Oh, I could tell stories about Limburger. I'll tell one story about Limburger cheese. Anybody know what Limburger cheese is? No. My stepdad loved, it has nothing to do with this sermon, I'm just sharing. My stepdad he loved Limburger cheese. And what we would do is we'd go in and we'd steal pieces of his, yes, we'd take it, not steal it. We'd take pieces of Limburger cheese, because it says don't steal. And we would put it on our enemy's exhaust manifold. And of course, they would never know it until it's just too late. And back when I was a kid, you didn't have to get inside. You didn't have all the remotes. Everybody left their doors unlocked. You know what I'm saying? No car alarms. So you can pretty much do whatever you wanted with it. Borrow the part for the night. Take it back for the next morning. Anyway. And we put this on there, and it would just smell horrendous. Well, my youngest brother, and I don't even know why I'm sharing this story. My youngest brother, he was giving me a hard time. And I went, dude, you need to stop. You know, but people don't understand stop. I communicated clearly. And his communication was, I'm going to continue to be annoying. So how many remember having clotheslines when you were growing up? My mother loved hanging out her clothes. And so I took him over to the clothesline. I tied him to the clothesline. I went in the house, got Limburger cheese, came out and rubbed it all up on his face and under his nose, and left him tied there until Mom got home. And then, and I'm just going to say, Mom wasn't the happiest, but she did find humor in it. So praise Jesus for that. So at any rate, he says, listen, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Did you get what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to speak godly so that we can show God's grace. Why are we to lift somebody up rather than tear them down? By the way, when you find somebody that just always tears down people, they have a serious emotional and spiritual issue. Serious. And you go, oh no, because it might be you, and you might go, I'm just fine. No, you have a pride issue too. I'm just saying, I don't know who you are, so don't walk out going, I didn't like the way Pastor talked about me. I don't even know who you are. But listen, he says, why should we do this? Why should we have this edifying tongue? Because you know what? God imparted grace to us, amen? Wow, we have been forgiven of what we should be paying a heavy price for. And yet God says, I'm imparting grace. And I think what we need to do is remember that when we're speaking to somebody, that we need to impart grace. And then he goes on. And by the way, I'm going to break all this down here in just a minute. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Did you notice what just happened here? He says, don't do, don't do, don't do. But then he gets to, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Because if you do, what's going to happen in verse 30? What's it say it happens when you do? You grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God. You disappoint God. You break fellowship with God. Do you realize? Now listen, I'm telling you, if you're going to build a relationship, and it's going to be a good relationship and a strong relationship, and I don't care, when I say, and the reason I've got it as relationship is because I want you to see that all this applies to everybody you come in contact with. And if you are dealing with somebody that you love or that you claim to love that is close to you, why in the world would you abuse them so badly verbally? Because, you know, truth be told, somebody would rather be slapped than to hear some of the words that they get. And God says, I'm telling you, listen, let no corrupt, defiled, nasty, gross, grotesque, ugly word come out of your mouth. Because when it does, you grieve God. And when you grieve God, you break fellowship with Him. Now, let me just make this clearly. I said you break fellowship with God, not relationship. Okay, do you grab hold of that? If you are born again, if you are saved, if you love Jesus Christ, if you believe He died on the cross and He rose again, however you want to describe it, if you are a child of God through salvation because you received Christ as your Savior, you can never lose that. That relationship becomes a solid relationship. That relationship never disappears. But the fellowship goes out the window. And so, how many of you have ever had words with your children or with your parents or with somebody else, and you stormed out of the room in a fit of rage or a fit of anger, and you slammed the door, and when you walk out, and now neither one of you are talking? That, what's happened? Fellowship has been broken. The relationship hasn't. The fellowship has. And so what you have to do is you have to forgive. Oh, my goodness. Really? I got to forgive? Yeah, you got to forgive. Wow, I can't forgive them. Do you know how bad they hurt me? Listen, I'm sorry they hurt you, but God says you need to forgive. And that's a tough thing to do. By the way, the only thing that stops us from forgiving is pride. And so when we're talking, we have to ask these questions. Number one, are my words helpful? That's what you ask yourself. Are my words helpful? By the way, next week I'll give you a handout that has all of this on it. I just didn't have it for this morning. I apologize for that. But are my words helpful? Does what I say help or hurt? And you seriously, and by the way, you know that because if you're a child of God, the Holy Spirit puts the brakes on you immediately. Like you go to throw something out there and all of a sudden you feel God go, whoa, boy, stop. Don't you say that. And then we kindly go, hey, Holy Spirit, excuse me, and we finish our thought, right? And so we know, and then you have to stop and ask yourself, number two, are my words constructive? Are they actually going to get something across, or am I burning that bridge? Are they constructive? And number three, are my words, are you ready? Needful. Do I really need to say this? Or am I just saying it to hurt, to bring pain, or to make myself feel better? And so we're to speak truth in love. And then, of course, the reason that it's so important that we do that is if we don't, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. If you notice, he says, by whom you were sealed. For those of you who may or may not know, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. If you are a child of God, God, through the Spirit, literally, physically lives inside of you. His presence is there. And so when Paul writes it here, he says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you." So he makes it very clear. Listen, you can't go, "Oh, well, you know, I wonder." No, he says, the one that lives inside of you, you will grieve him. And so we have to be very cautious to grieve him. You know, there's so many ways that we can talk to people. There was this girl who was going on a date, and she really liked this boy, and he finally asked her out, you know, and so they set the time, and she's getting ready, and it's early. He's not due yet to get there. And so her hair is like all up in the air and spiked out because she's trying to get it fixed. You know, she has no makeup on. She's still in her pajamas because she didn't have nothing to do but clean the house all day. And so she's looking a little tattered, and she knows she has time to get ready for the date. And then all of a sudden there's a knock at the door, and she runs, and she answers the door, and there's her date. Showed up early. I know some of you ladies are going, "I'd kill him." And so she's trying to be lighthearted about it, and she goes, "So you're going to see what I look like real?" And he goes, "Well, to me, it looks like the beginning stages of beauty, something beautiful." Exactly. Aww. Versus husband and wife, they're sitting at the table, and she comes out of the bedroom, you know, and her hair's all spiked out, and she's like, you know, looking like, like she just got up. Bless you, brother. And the husband looks at her and goes, "Is that a new hairdo? If so, when's it going to explode?" In fun, he says this. But which one do you think? Well, obviously you guys know. You heard all the, and then some of you are going to sit there, "He said that to me. I slap him." And so, listen, there's a difference in the way we communicate, and we have to be careful of how we do this. We do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit. And so what happens when we get to 31 and 32, 31 tells us the root cause of why we have an evil tongue. Or we have an ugly tongue. Or we say things to hurt people. That's what he puts down here. These are the root causes for it. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Six things that he puts down here that he says is the root cause of our ugly tongue. And what I want to do is I want to clarify each one. Bitterness. So if you look there, it says, "Let all bitterness." The first one is bitterness, and it speaks of a sour spirit, an irritable, negative, cynical outlook toward life that produces very hard and harsh opinions of people. It is a resentful attitude of the heart that refuses to let go of grievances and be reconciled. Bitterness. He says, listen, let all of that go. The second one is wrath. And so when we look up here, it's bitterness, and then he goes into wrath, and it says, speaks of passionate outbursts of anger accompanied by some kind of an explosion, and then hateful words and harsh behavior follows. Wrath. Let it go. Anger. And of course, nobody has issues with anger. Unless you know that old saying, "Lord, today's been great. Man, I haven't sinned. I haven't done anything wrong. Haven't thought anything wrong. But Lord, I'm about to get out of bed, so I'm going to need you from here on out," right? So, I mean, you know, we understand we can go through these emotions. And anger refers to the long-term, chronic, habitual hostility that continually boils and simmers within. It often involves holding on to an unshakable desire to punish someone, to strike back, to seek revenge. These are all root causes of poor communication. So then he goes on to clamor. So we see, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. Now, clamor describes a person getting so excited over a quarrel that he raises his voice and starts shouting loudly, yelling in order to bawl someone out, intimidate, and control them. So now you know what clamor is. Then the next one, evil speaking. Oh my goodness. Now some of you go, I haven't related to a thing. It's like these two old ladies and they were sitting in a service and the pastor's preaching on thou shalt not steal, and they're going, amen, and you know, thou shalt not be angry, amen, thou shalt not commit murder, amen, you know, thou shalt not lie, preach it, brother, preach it, thou shalt not gossip. And the one lady looks to the other and goes, oh, he went from preaching to meddling. I'm just telling you. Evil speaking includes gossip. I know nobody in here is guilty of that. Evil speaking refers to words often spoken behind someone's back, which hurts them, insults them, defames, and destroys their reputation through gossip and rumor. And this is a true story about a particular family, and hopefully this will bring it all into focus for us, guys. Several years ago, a man had a rather mild argument with his wife, and then left to run some errands. When he came back several hours later, there were police cars in front of his house. While he was gone, his wife killed their two children and herself in a moment of despair. The police found out that a neighbor had instigated an ugly rumor that he had been unfaithful to his wife. His wife believed the gossip. It was more than she could take. To escape the pain and anguish, she removed herself and their two sons from the rumor's effect. The rumor was not true, yet the damage was done. Evil speaking. Evil speaking. That's what he's talking about when he talks about that. He says, you know what? These are the root causes of poor communication. And so what we have to be careful of is that we choose our words. We choose them wisely. And if we do that, if we look at it as to say, hey, listen, is this going to grieve God? Is this going to grieve the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me? Is this going to hurt them? And now listen, there are some times, and I'm just going to tell you because I have hard conversations with people all the time. And many of you sitting here know that I have said some things that have blown you out of the water. But you knew I loved you. You knew I said it in love. And even though you got mad at me when you walked out of the office, you said, Pastor, I didn't like what you had to say, but after I thought about it, I realized that you were right, and thank you for helping me check my spirit. I'm not telling you not to have the hard conversations. What I'm telling you is don't make those hard conversations hurtful and ugly. We can speak truth in love. We have to do that. And we have to be godly. And listen, you have your mate, your wife, your husband. The worst thing that you could do to a man is for a wife is to not be behind him and make him feel like he's a man. And if your words take the manhood out of him, he's going to go. And for women, men, I'm going to tell you, women, they need to be loved. I don't care what the Women's Lib says. I don't care what the feminist movement is. I don't care that women say, here I am, man, listen to me roar. I don't care if the women say that. I don't care if the women say I'm as great as everybody else, because you know, truth is they are. But here's the truth of the whole thing, as God said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Why? Because emotionally, they need that. Not because they're weak, but because it's the way God made them. And so husbands, build your wives up. Love on them. If you love them, and by the way, God does not tell the woman to love her husband. Nowhere in Scripture does it say, wives, love your husbands. And you're like, dog, man, I don't even have a fight now. But here's what he says. Here's what he says. Wives, respect your husbands. See, they need that. As a man, I'm telling you, I need my wife's respect. I need my wife's approval. Not in everything I do, but as her husband, I need her approval. Do you know why? Because she completes me. I'm telling you, God gave the man the woman to come in and complete him. To build him up. That's what that respect is. And husbands, you have to love your wives. You have to love them. And I'm just going to tell you this, men, they are not happy with you saying, I told you I loved you when we married. If it ever changes, I'll let you know. That doesn't fly. I'm just kind of saying, God says, listen, love your wives. And that means communicating it through every day. My wife, every time I talk to her on the phone, says, I love you. I tell my wife I love her. Sometimes I just say bye. I said that one time, and there was somebody with me. I didn't say I love you. I was just kind of in a hurry to get off the phone. And when I said, oh, yeah, okay, bye. I got to go. Hung up the phone. Well, you can hear because there's not a whole lot of privacy on a cell phone turned up real loud for somebody who doesn't hear. And so they were like, wow, man, she said she loved you, and you didn't even tell her back? I'm like, dude, you too? Come on, man. She know. Listen, I'm going to talk to her 15 times today. If I miss one out of the 15, she still gets to hear it 14 times. I'm sure she is secure. But we got to build them up. We got to edify. We cannot destroy. And if your words aren't chosen, and by the way, saying nothing sometimes is just as bad as saying something ugly. That communication, the body language. If your spouse, husband or wife, comes in and says, I love you, and you grunt, that's not helping you get what you really want. I'm just kind of saying, you know? Obviously you don't. And so, and ladies, if you don't love your husband, respect him, you're not going to get out of him what you want either. And of course, men want one thing, women just want men to help around the house. And men's like, the work's done, okay, my part's, let's go. All right, just being real. Whew, I'm moving on now. All right. So we ask ourselves, when we hear rumors, the first thing we need to ask ourselves, or we go to tell a rumor, how would I feel if somebody was talking about me or my family that way? That evil speaking? How? Before you run out there, and this, of course, there was one person who said, listen, I can keep a secret. It's the people I tell who can't keep the secret. just kind of saying. We have got to watch. And then the last one that he speaks of here in verse 31 is malice. So we're to put all away, and then he says, with malice. And malice, this speaks of cruel, harsh, vicious thoughts that wish evil on another or plot injury against another. Sometimes, guys, if we're not careful, we set back and we think of ways to get back at somebody to really hurt them. And he says, don't do that. You're going to destroy a relationship. And I was reading an article in the news, and where this man had went out and cheated on his wife. And she got so angry that she put an ad on several different relational websites, saying, whoever has AIDS, please call me. I'll take you out to dinner. We'll finish the night off. I'll pay for everything, the hotel, everything. But I'm going to get back at my husband for having an affair. That's malice. That she put her own life at jeopardy to get back at someone else. And I know as I read it, I thought, how can somebody think that way? That's evil. But you know, you take God and you put God aside from our lives, and the truth is, we are just as evil. If you take God out of the picture, our tongue is venom. Venom, if we don't have the Holy Spirit to help us check that. I'm just going to tell you, there people do some really crazy things, and that's what God's saying here. What Paul's saying is, listen, don't do all that. Don't do all that. And it's, why are we to not do all that? Because you know what? Listen, why are we to love and to share in love? Look here in 32, and I'll finish with this. He says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Why are we to forgive one another? He says, because Christ forgave us. I find it real interesting how he ends this passage with forgive. He lists all these things that we're to do and how we're to control ourselves, and then he says, forgive. And the truth is that forgiveness has to come first. And then you'll find it pretty easy to work on everything else. Because when you forgive someone, you take yourself out of prison. When we don't forgive, it's a cancer that eats us. If you're going to speak well of your spouse, of your friend, of whatever relationship it is, your mother, your child, your date, whatever the relationship is, we have to practice this. If we don't practice this, our relationships are always going to have drama and turmoil and hate. And remember I talked about the rash? How many remember the rash? I'm not going to share the story again. If we don't check our tongue, we will create that rash. And in a relationship where there's a severe rash, people look to get out. We have to check ourselves. Paul makes it real clear. He lays it out. We have to check ourselves. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look at communication, Lord, help us to understand that, Lord, you told us the root cause of it all. Lord, it's really just a wicked heart within us. But Lord, you gave us all the things that we are to pay attention to, that we are to check for. And Lord, I pray right now that each person in this room truly does evaluate their self, their heart, their tongue, the things that they've said, the things that they've communicated to a loved one or to a friend or to anybody. And Lord, that if they have opportunity, that they would go back and ask for forgiveness and restore that relationship with you. Because Lord, if we don't ask for forgiveness, we don't restore the relationship. And so Lord, I pray your hand upon each and every one here today. Lord, as we seek to communicate with our loved one, with friends, with co-workers, that Lord, after today, we will truly check ourselves, that we will pay attention to what we say. Lord, that we will look to edify the person because we want to glorify you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to communicate in a way, Lord, that is pleasing to you, edifies the person, and builds both of us up. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.